be that they have a, it might be that they have a strong allegiance to a particular denomination. And so they can't kind of get past that allegiance to a denominational approach, that they realize, I don't really belong where the anointing is. That may be the decision. It also may be over the whole area of gifting, where people think, actually, I don't really know how somebody can be in this role when I am more educated, more able than them. And actually, bless him, anyone who's heard Kadeem speak about when he came into ICTHUS, it's very moving. He spoke about it at New Life one time, where he talked about how, you know, not just at New Life, but around ICTHUS, people were allowed to teach the word who hadn't been to Bible college, and he hadn't been invited to teach the word, yet he had been to Bible college, and he had to wrestle with this. What kind of church is this, you know, where we don't just recognize I've got the degree or I've got the qualification? And but he talked about the whole process of God teaching him a different way of seeing things. And I really bless him for sharing that, but for saying, you know, this way of humility. And it's not then just that we despise people who have studied and have got knowledge, but we don't just want that. We want the anointing of God on a person's life. We want people to teach the word who've got an anointing, and we want to be able to recognize it and make room for it. So the anointing will also help us work out if we belong or not in that place. So they were able to recognize, the apostles, that some people were of a different spirit. And so they were able to say, actually, it's better that they're not with us, because they so want to operate in a different way. We have to just release them, and we have to recognize and not try and bring them back. We have to just let them, because they actually aren't operating in the same spirit. And that's a huge challenge to us, isn't it? And it's not something that's very easy to talk about, or we particularly want to talk about very much. But I think it's important to recognize as well that as we hopefully become more comfortable and more at home with this kind of language and terminology about recognizing anointing on people's lives, different things, and we're able to function in that and allow that to form the shape of the church, that also it would help us have a stronger sense of belonging. That we're not getting our sense of belonging because I fit into the hierarchy this way, and we're not getting our sense of belonging because I'm on every committee, and we're not getting our sense of belonging because I've been here, you know, since the year dot. You know, we're not getting our sense of belonging. We're getting our sense of belonging because we can feel this is what the Spirit of God is doing, and I belong here. This is where I can operate, where I'm going to start to use my gifts. Recognize that God is here working among his people. And obviously that then puts a huge challenge on the overall leadership of any church. In ICTHUS terms, please pray for the ministry team, because if we are saying we want to operate this way, then we're living on the edge of things in terms of how other people would operate, because we're saying actually we don't just want to have some kind of structure which everyone can go, oh, yeah, that's my bit. I'll be involved in this bit. I'll be involved in this bit. We want a shape that emerges that comes from where the anointing of God is moving on people's lives. And it might be at different times, different people with different anointings come to the forefront, because the church needs that at this point. And I would suggest that the evangelist anointing has been very key over these last few months as we've done these outreaches and missions. Actually, allowing the evangelist gifting and those anointed in evangelism to come to the forefront, I think is very, very positive for the church. It doesn't mean we despise the teaching gifting or anything like that, but we recognize there are times the Lord is saying that we need to allow the anointing to come forward. But it challenges our flesh. It challenges our kind of desire for things to be structured in a certain way. And we need to stay open to the Lord, because we really don't. Lord, we want to be a church that can see deliverance from the darkness and see the Antichrist silenced and cast out of people's lives and out of our communities. And that is the church that's operating in the anointing. And come on, it's a huge adventure. You know, we have to pray a lot. We have to talk to God a lot. We have to listen to him a lot. Yes, Paul.
Just a comment that might be helpful was that when I was up in York and the Art Church, Stephen Redmond, we had somebody who was faithful to the church for literally years. And there came a point where they did a step forward and did a huge amount of service in terms of They were very gifted practically, and they did loads of stuff. But then what happened was a spirit of offense set in, because they then felt like they were owed something. They felt like they were owed like more responsibility, more kind of power. I don't know what it was. And they had to look, this most faithful person who'd been in the church for literally years, you know, you would have thought a pillar of the church, ended up leaving the church because of it. And when Pastor Steve was reflecting upon it, something he said to me, which always stuck with me, he says, there are no rights in the kingdom of God, but there are privileges. And that really, really just, yeah, no rights, but privileges.
Thank you. I think this whole area is very challenging. And it actually can, like you're saying, it can come to the forefront at different stages of people's spiritual lives. It's not necessarily something that will appear as a problem in the early days of discipleship. But sometimes I have noticed as well, when people get certain promotions in the workplace, and I'm thinking back a long time about somebody who got promoted, was very, very accomplished in their workplace. And they started to feel that actually that means they should have a certain senior level in the church. And to start to explain to that person, it wasn't that they weren't gifted, they actually did have an anointing. But I would have suggested that anointing was more operating with one-to-one with people, and also in small groups. They were definitely had an anointing from God to teach and to love and to pastor people, for sure. And gifts of mercy flowed very clearly through their lives. But what they wanted was to teach. And they started to feel more and more that that was what they wanted. But it's a hard line to hold when you think, actually, I just don't feel the anointing. It's not that they can't even bring a good word. You know, there would be nothing theologically wrong with it, but I just felt that though, and it was quite clear that to me that the anointing was not on their life for it. And in the end, not in any bad spirit, but they did move on. And I kind of realized at that point that probably that was going to happen, because, and that is a difficult thing. It's difficult to make these decisions. And we have to really listen to God, because it's quite easy for us to have our preferences, to have the things that we like, but we want to be people that really recognize the anointing, because it's not about them and it's not about us. It's about the body. We want the body to be strengthened, because as you see in this passage, actually the anointing is corporate. So where it says in verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know, the you is plural there. And so it's actually talking to the whole church. You have an anointing as a body of people. And I want to suggest to you, the reason they had an anointing is because certain people had left. Because when agreements are not honest and deep and real, it can really affect the anointing. It's almost like a plug is out in the bath, and the water just keeps draining. The anointing just keeps draining out of the church. What we need is, sometimes we have to recognize that because of the fleshly battles that go on, it can drain the anointing from the church. And so we want to recognize that there's an anointing that can rest on a church. But also the challenge of that is that some people may not ultimately be able to belong to it, because it is a spiritual matter. Third thing I want to mention about the anointing can remain in us, and the Holy Spirit can teach us. And so the anointing is not simply some kind of once and for all, this was the date I received the anointing and nothing changed from then. But actually we can also be taught. Verse 26 and 27. These things I've written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Now, those are classic verses that get quoted out of context all the time by people who don't want to submit to anyone else's authority. So there are people out there who believe they don't need anyone to teach them, because they think they have the Spirit of God. But we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because we're afraid that people are going to do that. What we want to recognize here is that clearly John is saying that there is such a powerful work of the Spirit in you that the Holy Spirit can actually teach you. It's not either or, But it's that actually the Holy Spirit can lead you into truth. And if you like, lead you into relationship with other people who are of the truth, where you can recognize what they're saying is the truth. And anyone who's seen someone baptized in the Spirit, you start to recognize that very quickly. I've seen new Christians get baptized in the Holy Spirit who've hardly read a Bible, but they very quickly be able to work out when they hear a Christian talking, if they're the real thing or not. They might not be able to say anointing or truth or the Holy Spirit, but they kind of say things like, yeah, there's something a bit wrong with what they were saying. Can't quite put my finger on it. I don't know what it is, but it's just not right. And what they're saying, they are able, the Holy Spirit is teaching them. The Holy Spirit is bringing them into truth and helping them recognize, you know, that's a bit off. That's really not correct. This is not a license to do whatever you like and to be unsubmitted. This verse is a deep challenge to those of us who want to move in the power of the Spirit, who want to know the things of the anointing, that actually we are to remain in him. We're to stay close to him. We're to stay open to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. We're to remember that truth is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. The language is so relational here. It's about abiding. It's about resting in him. That actually anointing is not about, oh, I don't really need the basics anymore. I'm advanced. You know, I'm moving off now. No, there's something here very strongly that actually we will still need teaching. You can look at it that way. John's saying, you're going to still need some teaching after you receive the anointing. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you and lead and guide you. Quite equally, quite possibly, John is thinking there may be even more scattering, more persecution. He's putting their minds at rest that the Holy Spirit is going to be able to lead you into truth. Even if pressure comes on, even if there's more persecution, you're going to be able to continue to move in the truth and in the power of what God is doing in your life. So we want to think those things through. We want the Holy Spirit to remain in us, the truth to remain in us, and to teach us. So I want to suggest receiving the anointing is a very active thing, not a passive activity, or just like, oh, I've now got the anointing, as if I couldn't lose it. No, I want to stay close to the source of that anointing. And then the last thing I want to mention is, by the anointing, we can stay on track. We can stay on track what I meant to say there is, once we've received the anointing, we can stay on track. There is hope here that we aren't going to go off. Now, there's a lot of people who fear that those who move in the things of the Spirit are going to kind of go off into some crazy world out there and become very odd people. Now, some of us probably are very odd already. But here what this passage is saying is, actually, get to the roots of it. Focus on the roots. I'm going to hold you. You're going to stay on track. Because this is about seeing, again, I'm going to say it, the spiritual battles won and the importance of it. Because when you think about the importance of light shining in darkness, the other way we might want to see anointing is like a person in shining light clothing, that they are there's bright light and it's pushing out the darkness. That's why we have to be very careful, the scripture says, of how we speak to people who carry an anointing, because how we behave to people who have an anointing is going to have a knock-on effect on the church. So if we criticize people who have an anointing, we're actually criticizing the church. The church is going to suffer if that person steps back. So we have to be very careful to not treat prophets or anointed people in the wrong way. Not that they are to be treated like kings and queens, but understand that if they have a true anointing and we're involved in gossiping or complaining about them or sidelining them or being against them, then we are actually hindering the purposes of God. The anointing of God flowing in the church is quite a serious matter. And so here we see verse 24, 25, that John is using this language that we know so well from him. About as for you, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. In what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. He's talking about sticking with the roots, sticking with the closeness of that relationship with God, home, abiding, living, dwelling in that place, investing in that place, so that we can continue in the anointing that God gives. And there's a beautiful picture here, really, about it resting in you. I've written here, I think it must be to do with the original language there, has in it the idea, let it abide in you. What you heard from the beginning, let those things rest in you. Let them live in you. Don't throw them out. They're actually going to keep you on track, because you know if you have an anointing, you're going to become possibly a target to the enemy and also a target to religious people. And so we want to make sure that we are focusing on the roots and we're resting in the callings that God has given us and the promises he's made to us. So when we think about receiving anointing from God and receiving gifts and moving in the power and the authority and the brightness of the kingdom, the anointing of Jesus, you can see why we are told by Paul to keep on being filled with the Spirit, that don't be drunk with wine, but keep on being filled, continually be filled. Ask the Lord to continually anoint you afresh. Ask him to continue to and see it. If you want to see it in your mind's eye, let the oil flow. If you're going into something new, then ask the leaders of the church to anoint you for it. I'm just thinking about it there, but it then makes so much sense where James says, call the elders of the church to anoint the sick. Why? Because the elders, surely they are meant to be the anointed ones. Call them who are engaged in the spiritual battle, who are winning victories, call them to anoint with oil, because they are then going to release that over your life and see that sickness cast out. There's something about this is the order. It's beautiful. It requires a lot of discipline, but in the Holy Spirit, there's so much life in it. And in verse 28, it's interesting that John says, don't shrink away from him in shame at his coming. So I want to leave us with this thought today, that the Lord would fill us with a new confidence not to shrink away. Because sometimes when we start to receive anointing or God starts to use us, sometimes we get very scared because people want more of our time, or because we think, oh, what if people expect more of me? Or I don't know all the answers, or we feel nervous about moving into something new. But I think John is saying here, don't shrink away. Don't be fearful. Don't pull back from it. Actually, step in and ask the Lord for more anointing on your gifts. Ask the Lord you would receive clearly the gifts. Ask the Lord to anoint you to see the enemy push back. The same sentiment is in Hebrews 10. My righteous ones shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. So I wanted to encourage us today and just say to us, don't shrink back from any ground that you have been holding. Even as I've been talking, you might have become aware that actually there was a ground that you were holding in some area of spiritual gift, some area of anointing. You know it wasn't you. You know it was God using you. You know it's his activity, his Holy Spirit. But something has caused you to step back from it. And I felt the Lord was just saying, wanting to call you forward, come under the anointing. It's like, yes, okay, you're stepping forward. So yes, you're maybe stepping a bit more into the enemy's view, but there is no safer place to be than under the anointing. You know, to start to discover the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God to protect you from the enemy, the power of the Spirit of God to silence the enemy, the authority that can start to flow in your life. Don't shrink back from it. Don't be fearful, but step in to the things that God has given you and be strengthened, because we need anointed people to be in his church. Because as we receive the anointing and as we recognize this is how the Spirit of God flows, we will start to see more and more anointed communities. And I think that's on my heart. Don't you want to see that? I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. I don't know exactly what a Sunday meeting will look like. I've got a few ideas. I don't know what the week might look like, but I'm willing for that. I don't know what our prayer meetings will look like, our youth work will look like, our children's work will look like. But I know that in my heart, I want to see more of the anointing of God flowing among his people. I want his power, his activity amongst us. And I don't want us to settle for anything less than that. Don't want us to settle for, oh, well, that was a good meeting today. You know, everything went smoothly. There was no disaster with the PA or whatever. And I hope the PA always works, but sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes things don't work out the way we planned. Sometimes the worship leaders, the PA doesn't work, or they're out of tune, but the anointing of God is flowing. And let's be people. Let's ask the Lord to help us recognize his anointing, recognize his anointed people. And let's see a church go forward that is full of the anointing of God. It will be a challenged church. It'll be a church that is aware of the darkness. It may be a church at times that people don't want to be part of. Sorry to say that, but that's okay, because we know what God has called us to, and we want to move in that anointing that Jesus had. So I would like to pray for us. Sorry, there's not lots of time for question and answer, but we can go away and mull on these things. But I just wondered, actually, maybe I'm just going to pray for each of us anyway, whether we feel we want to step back and step in more, whether we step back. I'm going to pray for us that we would experience the anointing of God flowing over our lives, and that we'd be able to receive it, not receive it because we're hanging around another anointed person, but receive something from God for ourselves. And we may not be the first to recognize it. Other people may recognize it. It's much healthier that way anyway. When other people say, actually, do you realize when you spoke like that, it really cut through? Or when you just reached out to that person, wow, they really were helped. Like, and other people start to recognize it. It's much healthier that way anyway. And I'd like to pray that. Does that sound all right, everyone? Anyone got anything else burning they want to say before I pray? Okay, I'm going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Horada shira da sunde hera marada shira da sunde yera da shira da sura na kiena na rama. Lord, we would love it, Lord, that you would be able to say about our congregations of Ichthus, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. Lord, we want to wake up to the anointing in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to just go to sleep and leave behind other ways of judging things, our own earthly assessments, our own criteria. Lord, we want to lay them down. Lord, we want to ask, and I want to ask as well, Lord, wake us up to the spiritual realities of the anointing, of leadership, of gifting, of seeing breakthrough, seeing power. Lord, wake us up by the power of your Spirit. Lord, we need it. Lord, we need it. We need it. We need it. Lord, we pray. I pray for Liv Svana, Lord, that you would just anoint her afresh in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that she'd be able to receive the anointing of God, Lord, on her gifts of leadership, on her gifts of teaching, on her pastoral gift. May the anointing of God flow in beauty, in power. And Lord, I pray that every time that she is shining for you and the enemy hates it, Lord, that you would just strengthen her, let the oil just flow over her, that people and the enemy can't control her, can't grasp hold of her. Lord, just let that oil be fully anointing, flowing over her life, Lord. And just thank you for Louise, Lord. Bless Louise, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would touch her fresh by the power of your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would also just bring to the surface the giftings, Lord. And I just had a picture there of like something kind of coming out, and it was like a wooden, someone had been creating something out of wood, and you know that had already happened, but as you started to pull it out, like chips were falling off, and it's almost like in the hidden place God's been shaping something even more and doing something, and as kind of as it emerged, chips were kind of falling off it, and you're like, what on earth is going on here? But God's been at work. And Lord, I thank you that you are the carpenter, and you beautifully shave off and different aspects, and you are doing much more in the hidden place than we often realize. And I just bless Louise in Jesus' name to receive the anointing of God over her gifts, over her life, that faith would be really rising in her heart, Lord, and that you would just bless her and saturate her in the Spirit of God, Lord, in Jesus' name. And thank you for Catherine, Lord. We just want to agree together to this evening, Lord. Let your anointing flow over Catherine. Thank you that it's the anointing that brings us into more and more truth. Thank you, Lord, that it's the anointing that can recognize the authority of God, the life of God among his people. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you just flood afresh into Catherine's spirit, body, mind, emotions, just every part of who she is, just Holy Spirit, flow in and flow over her life, Lord, as well. Wherever she feels drained or tired, weary, Lord, just re-energize, rejuvenate, re-envision, just Lord, bless Catherine in Jesus' name. Anoint her with the oil of joy, with the oil of your Spirit over her life. Lord, I thank you for Marjaran. Thank you so much for her life, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts, Lord. And there are obvious gifts, Lord, in her. But Lord, I feel like there are little ones just starting to grow on the inside, like new growth. new shoots, almost like spring bulbs coming up. And Lord, we just want to agree together as the anointing of God would flow over the gifts that you're stirring up in Marja. And I pray, Lord, she's known you for so many years, but Lord, I pray that there'll be a freshness coming into her life and into her perspective and even into her prayers, a freshness that she knows it's almost like a fresh start in some way of your spirit and your activity in her. I pray she would know more of the anointing of God, that she would have more confidence and peace in that place of anointing, Lord. Peace to be who she is. Peace to just receive the oil over her mind and over her spirit, Lord. Wherever the enemy has contested her, or wherever things have got a bit contested or worn away, Lord, just thank you that the oil can just work in and make things brand new. Lord, just let your anointing rest on your daughter. And we thank you for Paul and the gifts that he has. And in Jesus' name, we want to ask, Lord, would you anoint Paul in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? I'm going to pray, Lord, that he'd be able to receive the deep oil of your spirit into his life. I pray, Lord, you'd help him to find that way to position himself so that you can have access to every area. And Lord, that you would just flood with thick, beautiful oil every area of Paul's memories and consciousness and emotions and body and mind and spirit, Lord, that you would just flood in with a richness and a life, and that you would fill every space, Lord, with your beautiful presence. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that as Paul brings forward words that are full of truth and life, Lord, may they have the anointing of God on them to do the work, Lord, that you want them to do in people's lives, Lord. I pray, Lord, you bless him, Lord, and I pray, Lord, you take him into more and more of the spiritual activities. God, the spiritual energy and life, Lord. And I just feel the Lord wants to really encourage you in your activity, wants you to be really fruitful and really peaceful about all of it. And so, Lord, I really want to pray you bless Paul as an anointed person in your people, Lord, and inspire that in others through him, I pray. Lord, we bless James in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gifts in his life. Just we pray that the oil of your spirit would just anoint James afresh, Lord. And even as he's given out over this time with the project and he's delivered as everyone has here, Lord, I just pray for James that you just renew him, reinvigorate him, re-energize him. Just, Lord, as the cogs of his inner life, Lord, I think they're all in really good place. James is a very orderly person, Lord. They're all in the right place. But, Lord, I pray you would really know the oil just flowing through, the power of the oil turning the cogs, Lord, and that everything is ready, everything is there, Lord. Let there be more and more oil of your spirit, and may James just be able to adjust to that in fresh ways, Lord, just to adjust to your activity in his innermost being. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that your anointing would rest on him for his thoughts and perspectives, for what he carries in the spirit as well as in the natural. Lord, let the oil of your spirit anoint him in Jesus' name. And Lord, I also just thank you for Fred. Thank you for his life, his encouragement. Thank you for all his history with you, Lord. Thank you for the way you've enabled him to stand strong through many situations, Lord. And there's so much wisdom that's in him. Thank you that he can discern what is truly of you and not. And Lord, I want to pray that that discernment, gift of discernment, might increase in Fred, and that he might have increasing authority, Lord, and an increasing edge to that discernment, that he would not hold back. But if he discerns something, Lord, he would know how to bring it, how to speak it, whether that's in a prayer planning meeting or a Sunday meeting, or even if it's just he has to say to Lydia, I'm just got something's not quite right about this or that, or actually I think this person is really God's using them in this way. Lord, I just pray that there'll be a rising tide in Fred of moving in the gifts of the Spirit and the authority and the confidence of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that he would just release the beautiful fragrance of Jesus more and more into the congregation, even in his family, Lord. I just pray you freshly anoint him, Lord, that his gifts would operate there as well. And Lord, we just want to just thank you, Lord. You have such amazing ideas, Lord. We would do things in such a different way, but I thank you for your ways, that they're not our ways. And Lord, I pray as we seek to understand heavenly things, that you would give us more light, more clarity, more truth. Lord, thank you that's what you do. We pray for the ministry team in Ichthus, Lord, that you would just freshly anoint each person on that team as they each one starts to has been stepping into different giftings and responsibilities. Lord, may it all be done under the anointing of your Holy Spirit, we pray. May it flow increasingly in the days ahead. And may we be part of a church that wants to recognize the anointing and respond to it. And Lord, may we not be dull of heart or asleep, but may we be really awake and expectant. And Lord, I also just want to pray that you would anoint many young people in the days ahead. Pray this rising generation, that not just in the future, but even now as well, that you would be preparing them to be able to carry the anointing of God in their lives. Lord, we need a church that's going to go forward in this way in the days ahead. And so, Lord, we want to just pray a blessing on all young people, young adults, Lord, that they would receive, and at Revive this year, may there be a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. May there be receiving of the anointing onto gifts in these days ahead, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.